go. Sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all. The heavenly path will lead, all who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive the sinful man, make the message clear and plain. Christ receive the sinful man, come and he will give you rest. For still for his word is plain, he will take the sinful as Christ received the sinful man. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ received the sinful man, make the message clear and plain. Christ received the sinful man. Christ received the sinful man, even me with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I enter in, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ received the sinful man, make the message clear and plain. Christ received the sinful man. It may be at morn when the day is away, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his home. O Lord Jesus, how long, how long have we shut the glad song? Christ returned, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. It may be at midday, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his own. O Lord Jesus, how long have we shut the glad song? Christ returned, hallelujah, hallelujah. From heaven descending with glorified saints and the angels attending, with grace on his brow like a halo of glory will Jesus receive his own. O Lord Jesus, how long, song. Christ returned, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There is salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst at my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. praising my Savior all the day, Lord. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day, Lord. I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the Lord, let me labor and pray. Let me watch as a winner of souls. That bright star may be mine in that glorious day, when its praise like a sea billows roll. Will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansion of rest, will there be any stars in my crown?
And all God's people said,
amen.
Well, if you're glad to be saved tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you're glad, God still chooses to communicate with his people, even if it's just two or three people, say amen.
Amen.
Well, good to see you tonight. Our campers made it just a few hours ago, and we're grateful for that. Keep praying for Brother Chris, as he still has, I'm sure, a little bit to go on his trip. Pray for the campers that they'll have a good week. And, man, I'm just glad to look out here and see you in your place. That's something special. Okay. Brother Aaron, would you open us up in prayer?
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you're going Jesus' name, does the place you call to labor seem so small and little more? It is great if God is in it and do not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you'll go in Jesus' name, when we enter heaven's portals and our Savior's face we see, cares of life will be forgotten. We'll be happy, glad, and free. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown. Can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to wear. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the same. parchment meet, where every stalk on earth a queen, and every man a scribe a trade, to write the love of God above, will drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels soar.
Well, thank you, Brother David. Before we get into another crime scene tonight and the message, let me remind you of a couple of things. Next week, Sunday morning, the 29th, we have a patriotic service. That's the Sunday right before July 4th, so we're looking forward to that. That's in the morning. And then at 6 p.m., we have our fifth Sunday fellowship meal. It's a potluck meal, so we hope you can be there. Looking forward to that as well. A ladies' Bible study, Tuesday, July 1st at 7 p.m. And then at the end of July, the 28th through the 30th, we have our vacation Bible school this year, and the theme is Rocket Racer, On Track with Our Powerful God. Sounds like a good one. Brother David.
All right, if you take your Bibles and go with me to Genesis chapter number 27 tonight. Genesis chapter number 27. There's 46 verses in this chapter, and we're going to read all 46 verses because it contains a story that all fits together. I understand that it's quite lengthy, but you never can get too much of the Word of God in reading the Scripture, and so that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to, as Brother Dwayne says, and my slide says, I'm going to continue my series tonight of crime scenes. We're going to look at Esau and Jacob. Next week, we'll be having a fifth Sunday fellowship meal on Sunday evening. And then the next week after that, then we'll get back into this crime scenes and see what happens here. So Genesis chapter number 27, beginning with verse number 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son? And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison. And make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flocks and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Isn't it interesting that he's more worried about being thought of as a deceiver than he is about being a deceiver? Goes on in verse number 13. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment from her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skin of kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hands of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, said, and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, and I want you to notice this, because now he's bringing God into his deceit. He says, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father. He felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Father hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. Now this is the blessing that he's giving him. And the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of the son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy firstborn Isaac. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety or deceit, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to them for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I say, Slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are not of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? Has anyone in here been the victim of fraud in your life? Does anybody know someone that has been the victim of fraud? It is becoming a more and more common crime in our country. Matter of fact, last year, or 2024, U.S. consumers lost $12.5 billion to fraud. That was an increase of 25% over 2023. I don't know about you, but I'm scared to answer my phone anymore. I used to like to get telemarketers, and they would call me, and I'd like to talk to them, you know, and play with them a little bit, you know, and do all this. But I'm scared to talk to them because I might give them some information, and they could steal everything that I have. It was just a few years ago I heard that there was this scam that was going around, that they would call you and they would ask you a question, and if you said yes, they would record it and they would use your voice in order to scam you out of your money. We know that there is elder fraud. We know that there is all kinds of fraud that is going on in our nation. But you know what one of the worst kinds of fraud is? Is when families go about to defraud other families. When children try to defraud their parents, or parents try to defraud their children. I periodically have listened to tons of talk shows in my days, and I can't tell you how many times where a grown child will call into whatever talk show I'm listening to and say that, you know what, as a kid, my mother got a Social Security number for me, and she started going out and buying all these things, and she never paid for anything, and as an adult, she is trying to fix her credit, her credit where she can buy things. Her mother defrauded her. What worse crime can that be when we attack our own families? But yet in this text, that is exactly what is taking place. We have Jacob and we have Esau. They are twin brothers. Their daddy is Isaac, who is the son of Abraham, and their mother is Rebekah. And it comes time that Isaac is getting old. Matter of fact, he's 137 years old. And he's thinking in his mind, he says, you know what, I'm getting to be old, my eyes are getting dim, I cannot see, and so here's what I want to do. I want to set up my family affairs, I want to get them in order, and I want to give a will and a testament. Now essentially what he's going to do with this blessing, it is known as a patriarchal blessing or a covenant blessing. But so you and I can understand it, and it's essentially the same thing. Isaac is going to make Esau his beneficiary to his last will in his testament when he gives him this blessing. And so he calls Esau in. He says, Esau, I love your meat. Boy, you make some wonderful meat, and you're a great hunter. And Esau, I want you to go out into the fields, and I want you to find some venison. I want you to kill it, and I want you to bring it back in, and I want you to cook it, and I want you to bring it to me. And when you do that, then I'm going to give you my last will and testament. I'm going to make you the beneficiary of my estate. Well, Esau's mother hears that. And she doesn't want Esau to be the beneficiary. She wants her favorite son, Jacob, to be the beneficiary. And so she goes to Jacob and she tells Jacob, hey, this is what's going to happen. Your father is fixing to give the blessing to Isaac. Your father is fixing to make him the beneficiary of his estate. And you know what? You deserve it more than Esau. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to deceive your father. We're going to commit a fraud upon him. And we're going to make it where he blesses you instead of Esau. She tells Jacob, go to the flocks and bring in two goats. And I will fix it, and I'll make it just like your father likes it. And so he goes and he gets those kids and he brings them back, and Rebecca fixes the meat just like Isaac is going to like it. And Jacob says, you know what? When I get in there, he's going to realize that I'm Jacob, because, you know, Esau, he's hairy and he's rough and he's got rough skin, and I'm smooth. And Rebecca says, you know what? We'll put some hair, some goat's hair on you. And so when he feels you, he'll feel hairy. We're going to put Esau's garments on you. And so when he smells of you and when he feels of you, it'll smell like Esau. Jacob says, I don't know. When I do that, he may see me as a deceiver. And Rebecca says, don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. And so Jacob goes in and he brings him this meat. And time again, Isaac tries to get Esau or Jacob to admit that he's not Esau, because he's got all these doubts. But Jacob keeps saying, you know what, I am Esau. I'm Esau. Isaac says, man, my mind's not working real well tonight. Isaac says, hey, how did you happen to get this done so fast? How did you happen to kill these two venisons already and bring them back? And Jacob said, you know, God did this. He made it quickly for me. And so ultimately Isaac eats the venison and he blesses Jacob instead of Esau. Jacob leaves, Esau comes in, and Esau is coming to get his blessing. But yet, Isaac has already given the blessing. And he says right there in verse number 35, he says, you know what Esau is talking about? He says, thy brother came with subtlety or deceit and hath taken away thy blessing. He had taken away the blessing by fraud. He had misrepresented who he was so he could get something that he was already promised that he could have. In order to really understand this, I want you to go with me back now to chapter number 25. Because in chapter number 25, we're going to see the beginning of this story as we investigate how did we get to the point where a mother and a son is trying to deceive a father and a brother. In verse number 19 of Genesis chapter number 25, the Bible says, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Now I think it's really interesting because Rebekah and Isaac had been married almost 20 years. They couldn't have children. Rebekah was barren. She couldn't conceive. And so Isaac, after almost 20 years of marriage, he begins to pray. He begins to intercede for Rebekah to the Lord, saying, you know what, God, would you give us a child? And God hears that prayer, and then he answers that prayer. In verse number 22, the Bible says, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Evidently, she was having a difficult pregnancy. There were things going on in her that she didn't quite understand. And at the time, she really didn't know this thing about being twins or anything. There was a lot of movement, and she wanted to know. And so she went to the Lord and said, hey, God, what is going on with these kids? In verse number 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two matters of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And here it is, the elder shall serve the younger. Now that wasn't normal for that culture of society, because in that society, the elder would always be the head of the family when the father passed away. The elder would be the priest for the family. The elder child would take on the responsibility of providing for the family. But in this case, God says that's not the way it's going to be. The way it's going to be here is that the younger is going to be over the elder, and the elder is going to serve the younger. Now, that was a prophecy of God. God said that is exactly the way that it is going to be. And so when you come to verse number 24, the Bible says, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red and all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hands took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them," meaning that now he is 60 years of age. And as we go through this text, what you're going to find out is Esau and Jacob were as different as night and day. Esau was an outdoorsman. Esau was a great hunter. Esau was not a spiritual guy. Esau was a guy that lived for the moment and that lived in the moment. He was very sensual in nature. He didn't think about the future. He didn't look ahead. He just wanted to experience all of the pleasure that he could for that single day. That's illustrated two different ways. In verse number 29, the Bible says that Jacob sod pottage, or he cooked some pottage one day. And Esau came in from the field, and he was faint, he was tired, he was hungry, he was thirsty. And verse number 30 says, "And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom." Now Jacob was a little bit smarter than Esau. Jacob was kind of a conniving man. Jacob was kind of a deceiving man. And he thought, you know what? Here is my opportunity to get something for me. And so he told Esau, "Hey, I will give you this pottage. I will give you this one meal if you will sell me your birthright." Esau said, verse number 32, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" He wasn't at the point of die. There was plenty of food where he lived. They wasn't living in a famine. They was living in a very plentiful land. But yet all Esau was concerned about is getting something at the moment, and he wasn't looking to the future. He said, "You know what? Okay, if you'll just feed me one time, I will sell you something that is very, very valuable in that society." Verse number 33, "And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." It doesn't necessarily mean there that he hated his birthright, but that he had no respect. He had no reverence for his birthright. He just, on a whim, got rid of it. On a whim of just eating a meal, got rid of an inheritance. He was living for the moment. You look over in chapter number 26. And in chapter number 26, Esau and Jacob now are 40 years of age. And Esau decides, you know what, I think I'm going to marry. I need a wife. And so instead of going to his people and finding a wife, he goes to the land of Canaan and he gets some Canaanite wives. Notice what it said. "And Esau was 40 years old," verse number 34. "And when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bashema, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were grief of mine unto Isaac and unto Rebekah." Now you say, what is the big deal? The big deal is because in Genesis chapter number 23, Abraham said this, "I don't want you to go back into the Canaanites to get wives. If you are going to marry, you need to marry within God's chosen people." But Isaac didn't care what his parents said. Isaac didn't care, or not Isaac, but Esau didn't care what his parents said. He didn't care what God said. He went back to the Canaanites and he found wives. It affected his relationship with his parents. Because notice, once again, verse number 35, it was a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Have you ever known a young lady that had her whole future ahead of her, that had her bright future, and she married somebody that her parents said, please don't do that, and she married him anyway, and she never got to realize her potential? Mom and dad would go to bed at night and think about, oh, my baby. If she could just get away from that person, if she could just get away from that individual, God could bless her, but she didn't. That's what's going on with Esau and Isaac and Rebekah. So when we look at Esau, he was kind of the problem child. He was always kind of pushing the boundaries. He was never looking towards the future. He probably spent every penny that he had. He probably wasn't putting anything up in savings. He wasn't looking to the time when he couldn't work anymore, provide for his family. Hey, he was living for the moment, and he was living for the here and now. But Jacob was just the exact opposite. The Bible says here back in chapter number 25 and in verse number 27, it says that Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. The word plain there means that he was a peaceful individual, that he was a studious individual, that he stayed around the house, that he took care of his business, that he was probably a pretty good businessman is one of those things that it says. It's easy to kind of love those kinds of children, isn't it? I've got three children, three daughters. Some of them are easier to love than the other ones. I love all of them, but it's just easier with one or two of them. And I think that's the way it was here. Jacob was just easy to love. They didn't have to ride him about doing his homework. They didn't have to ride him about doing the right things. Jacob was just one of those kids. He just did what was right. He just did what was expected. He was always looking to the future. He was always taking care of his business. He was always doing the things that he should. His parents were good to him, and it was easy to be good to him because he was a good guy. You know families like this, don't you? One or two of the kids, boy, they just always have taken care of their business. They're just always about doing the right thing. And then there's another kid over here. They're always in trouble. Mom and dad's always having to bail them out. Mom and dad's always having to come to the rescue. Mom and dad's always having to deal with problems in their society. I think that's the way it was with Esau and Jacob. Jacob was a spiritual man, even though he had some bad characteristics, but he was a spiritual man. Esau, he didn't care anything about spirituality. I say that to say this, because I can understand why Rebekah decided, you know what? Jacob, you need the inheritance. I'm not saying that it was right, but I'm saying I can understand it. Because Esau had probably went through all kinds of stuff. They had probably spent enough on Esau, and Jacob was one of those that they didn't have to bail out of trouble. But you know what? Isaac favored Esau. I think he lived his life through Esau. And when it came time to give his estate, he thought, I'm giving it to Esau. And so he calls him in. And he says, Esau, I know you've given up your birthright, but I'm going to give you a blessing. I'm going to give you a covenant blessing that God gave Abraham and Abraham gave me. I'm going to give you that blessing that involves a land and a blessing. But Rebekah thought, you know, my favorite son, Jacob, he deserves it. I'm going to give my son what he deserves. And so she went out to, by fraudulent means, to undermine her husband and one of her own sons. Do you know what happens in our nation all the time? You know what happens with Christians? When I was in Coleman, there was a man by the name of Howard Andrews that retired from El Paso Hydrocarbons in Albuquerque or Roswell, New Mexico. He never got married. He retired in his 50s, and he come to Coleman, and him and I would go play golf every Monday. We'd drive to Baird, we'd play golf, we'd drive to Abilene and eat Chinese food, and we'd go home. He had a sister that had three daughters. The three daughters were never really had anything in life, and Howard would talk to me every once in a while. He would say, you know what, I'm not leaving my money to those people. They would just throw it away, essentially. He got sick, and his mother had died, his sister had died, and Howard was really the financier of the whole family. He took care of them financially. He moved one of his nieces in, and she was really a good lady. She came to our church. He had made me executor of his will. I knew that he had done that, but one day I got a call from the Coleman County State Bank and asked me if I was his power of attorney, and I said, no, not that I know about. But here was someone that he had taken care of and had dumped no tellings of how many hundreds of thousands of dollars into their family's life. And when the bank called me, she had already taken $70,000 from him. Was on the road to take all that he had, which was $320,000. I don't understand how that happens. But you know what? In all the years that I've lived, I've heard story after story after story of things just like that. And I bet you have too, haven't you? But you know what was the crazy thing about this text? Is that they didn't have to do it because God had already promised Jacob that he was going to get it all. You remember when they were in the womb back in chapter number 25? You remember when she was having all these problems and all these difficulties? She went to the Lord and she said, you know, what's going on here? And the Lord said in the last part of verse number 23, the elder shall serve the younger. Somebody might say, well, you know, that was God's way of fulfilling that prophecy. I say to you, do no. Because you know what? God is not going to use deception to fulfill His will and His purpose. All they had to do was sit back and say, God, I don't understand why all of this is going on. I don't understand how all of this is happening. But God, I'm going to trust you. And God, I'm just going to rely upon you that you're going to take care of me and that you're going to allow it all to come at the way you want it to come. And you know what? God would have brought it to pass. Hasn't God made that promise to you and I? I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, is what he says. And you know what? Sometimes we don't think God's doing a very good job. And we see an opportunity to maybe take something or work around something that we can get something. Instead of saying, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Is there consequences? There is. One of the consequences was that Esau came in, and when he found out, what did he say? Jacob, I'm going to kill you. And here's what he said. You know what? We're going to have a mourning period. Our father's almost ready to die. We're going to have a mourning period. And after that mourning period is over, I'm going to kill you. You know what's interesting? Is that Isaac was 137 years old when this happened, but he lived another 43 years. He didn't die at 137. He died at 180. So Esau, if he was going to give retribution to Isaac, he had a 43-year wait, and by then he had kind of settled down. But here is what one of the most important things is that Rebekah came to Isaac and said, you know what, Esau is going to kill Jacob. We better ship him off to my brother Laban in Syria. And guess what? Rebekah never got to see her son Jacob again. When she saw him running off, or not wandering off, but going off to Laban, she never got to see him again. Jacob had family turmoil. He had to leave his family. It was years and years and years before he got to come back and have any kind of relationship with his family. I am quite sure that Rebekah and Jacob justified what they were doing. I'm quite sure that they sat back and they thought, you know what, maybe God needs a little help. He's promised us this, and we're just going to help God out. It's no big deal. But you know what? It was a big deal. I know in your life and in my life, there's going to be times that you're going to have the opportunity to maybe deceive and maybe take something that doesn't belong to you. And you know what? You might feel justified in doing it. You might be able to explain exactly why you're doing it, but can I tell you, as God's people, we need to trust God and not trust us. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's a sad story, isn't it? But you know what? You read to the end, God was merciful. Because you know what he did? He blessed Esau. By the time Jacob comes back, Esau is a wealthy man of himself. Jacob gets a little bit of his own medicine, because remember, he goes to Laban and Laban deceives him and he has to work for him for 14 years because, you know, he's getting a little payback from the Lord. But I think the moral of this story is this. Trust God. Trust God. Even though when it looks like maybe it's not happening. I didn't tell you this, but do you know how old Jacob and Esau was when all this started? 77 years of age. They was a little bit older than my wife right here. They wasn't mature young men. They were old men, lived a long time when they started all this stuff. Trust in the Lord. Lord, we love you tonight. We're grateful for your word. God, we're grateful for this admonition. And Lord, I have thought about this often, because you've put me in places twice already in my life that if you didn't help me to be honest, you'd have been able to justify some actions. And God, I thank you for your conviction. And God, I thank you for the fact that you helped me to stay true and be honest and right in those areas that I didn't have to be. And God, maybe tonight there might be some that are sitting in this congregation tonight and they've been the victim of fraud. And maybe somebody that they have loved and they trusted and they cared for took from them. God, I pray that you'd help them to have a forgiving spirit and just trust in you. God, I pray that you'd move amongst us tonight. I pray that you'd draw us closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.